I want you to think about the last time you used an artificial intelligence tool to like summarize a document or even just a massive folder of high-resolution photos to the cloud.
Yeah, we do it every day.
Right. You tap a button on your screen and your data just sort of, vanishes. It floats away into this weightless, invisible, totally frictionless digital ether.
Which is, I mean, it's a great image.
Exactly, but at least that is the illusion we've all bought into.
Oh, absolutely. The term cloud computing is, well, it's arguably the most successful misdirection in modern marketing history. I mean, it makes the entire infrastructure of the internet sound like harmless water vapor just, floating above us.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because today's deep dive is going to completely shatter that illusion.
It really is.
The cloud is not weightless. It is incredibly heavy, it is loud, it's thirsty, and it has this massive physical footprint that is profoundly reshaping the actual physical world we live in.
Yeah, the real world.
All right, so our mission today is to figure out how communities are surviving this physical reality.
Which is not easy.
Not at all. We are looking at a freshly published briefing. This is dated today, actually, May 8, 2026. And it's from the Sandoval Economic Alliance out in New Mexico.
A really fascinating group.
Yeah, and the report is titled New Mexico Data Center Market: Balancing Progress and Peace. And it zeroes in on what honestly might be the defining urban planning challenge of our era.
Without a doubt.
Like, how do regions balance the explosive, desperate demand for digital infrastructure with the peace, quiet, and local resources of the people who actually live there?
Because economic development, it never happens in a vacuum.
No.
It always happens in someone's backyard. And the shift to a digital-first economy, specifically, the age of artificial intelligence, it requires a fundamentally different kind of physical architecture.
Right, we're not talking about office buildings here.
Yeah. No, we are talking about high-performance, hyperscale data centers and finding a place to put these colossal facilities without completely ruining a community's daily life is, well, it's proving to be a highly complex engineering and diplomatic puzzle.
Yeah, and the source material paints a very vivid picture of this tech boom sweeping across the American Southwest. New Mexico was highlighted as this primary destination for global digital investment.
Oh, it's booming.
But it is definitely not a seamless transition. The briefing goes straight to the friction, which I appreciate. Local residents are pushing back hard against these developments. And when you look at the physical reality of these structures, you completely understand why they're upset.
Oh, absolutely. We have to move past the abstract, sort of shiny idea of tech growth
Yeah.
and look at the visceral reality of living next to one of these facilities.
Yeah.
The Sandoval Economic Alliance briefing outlines three specific recurring community criticisms. So you've got noise pollution, resource drain, and visual blight.
Let's visualize this for a second.
Yeah.
Imagine you live in a quiet, high desert subdivision, right?
Nice and peaceful.
Exactly. And one day, a developer builds a giant industrial warehouse right next door. But this warehouse doesn't manufacture cars or furniture. It doesn't output anything physical. It
Right.
just sits there radiating heat while these industrial cooling systems emit a relentless, droning mechanical hum 24 hours a day.
Just endless noise.
And meanwhile, it's drinking up massive amounts of the local municipal water supply.
Mm.
All just to process like AI algorithms for people who live on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, it creates a jarring psychological juxtaposition for a local resident.
I can imagine.
You're being forced to live with the heavy industry side effects of an entirely invisible product.
Which logically makes me ask, if these buildings are such a massive nuisance, why in the world are we putting them near residential areas at all?
It's a great question.
I mean, if New Mexico has all this open desert, why not just build them out in the absolute middle of nowhere, hundreds of miles away from the nearest subdivision?
What's fascinating here is the concept of the digital anchor. So the industry cannot simply isolate these buildings in the remote desert because of a metric they call speed to power.
Speed to power.
Right. Artificial intelligence is currently in a massive arms race, and the primary bottleneck for these tech companies is no longer just securing microchips.
What is it then?
It is the years it takes to connect a new facility to a power grid. They need immediate access to robust electrical substations, and they need to tap into the massive high-speed fiber optic trunks that, form the internet's backbone.
Oh, wow. And all of those heavy infrastructure elements, the power grids, the fiber optics, they only exist where human populations have already settled and paid to build them.
Exactly. They are tethered to existing human infrastructure.
That makes sense.
The tech companies need the city. But as the briefing emphasizes, if these digital anchors are going to drop their weight in your residential communities, they must operate as silent, supportive partners.
Right.
They cannot be a continuous source of friction, or the local zoning boards will simply shut them down.
So they are effectively trapped. They can't move out to the middle of nowhere because they need the urban grid. But if they stay near the city, they consume enormous resources and anger the residents.
Yep.
How are developers legally getting away with this in a desert environment?
Well, they're engineering their way out of the friction.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The briefing details a massive shift toward what the industry terms sustainable data infrastructure. Modern mechanical engineering has completely revolutionized the environmental footprint of these facilities.
Okay, let's look at the water challenge then, which is historically the most, you know, politically sensitive issue in the American Southwest.
Oh, entirely.
The briefing focuses heavily on these new closed-loop cooling systems. Because historically, cooling a server farm was an absolute nightmare for local water table.
It was. In older facility designs, cooling towers would pump in millions of gallons of municipal water.
Millions.
Yeah. That water would absorb the immense heat generated by the servers, and then the facility would release that heat by evaporating the water directly into the atmosphere.
A literal one-way trip for the water. Just taking the local town's drinking water and sending it up into the sky.
Exactly. But a closed-loop system changes the thermodynamics entirely.
How so?
Instead of evaporation, it relies on advanced heat exchangers. So the water absorbs the heat from the servers, travels through a sealed network of pipes, and ambient air is blown across those pipes to cool the liquid down. And then that exact same water cycles right back to the servers.
Wow. So it never touches the outside air.
The fluid never touches the outside air. It continuously recycles the same initial batch of water, which drastically minimizes the facility's ongoing drain on the local water table.
That's incredible.
For a place like Sandoval County, implementing closed-loop architecture is a non-negotiable prerequisite for operating.
Okay, so that solves the water, but I'm still stuck on the power equation.
Right.
Because these places require a staggering amount of electricity to run.
They do.
The briefing points out that New Mexico is a national leader in renewable energy, and developers are pairing these data centers directly with new wind and solar farms.
Right.
But wait, even if a tech company pays to build a new solar farm, they are still consuming all of that power.
Yeah, that's the usual thought.
So how does that actually leave the local residents better off if the data center is eating the whole pie it just baked?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we see a fascinating mechanism of economic symbiosis.
Okay, lay it on me.
Upgrading a regional power grid and building utility-scale solar infrastructure requires an immense amount of upfront capital.
Sure.
Local utility companies often struggle to secure the financing for these mega projects because they need a guarantee that someone will actually buy all that new power.
And a data center provides exactly that guarantee.
They provide what are known as power purchase agreements. So a tech giant will commit to buying a massive percentage of the new solar farm's output for the next 10 or 20 years.
Wow.
That guaranteed ironclad contract allows the local utility company to secure the bank loans needed to break ground.
Oh, I see.
The tech company effectively underwrites the clean energy expansion.
Well, the solar farm gets built, the data center gets its clean power, and the critical piece for the residents is that the newly upgraded, modernized grid infrastructure, along with any excess clean capacity, is now available to the entire surrounding community.
Okay, I love the counterintuitive nature of that.
Yeah.
Because we are so conditioned to view heavy industrial growth as inherently extractive,
right?
Like something that just depletes the local environment. But in this specific scenario, the sheer financial gravity of the tech industry is being leveraged to accelerate the clean energy transition for all the residents. They're essentially subsidizing the town's future grid.
It is a remarkable pivot in infrastructure funding.
Yeah.
However, even if a facility uses recycled water and runs on clean, subsidized solar energy, it remains a gigantic, windowless monolith.
Right. Which brings back the visceral complaints we talked about earlier. Mm. Closed-loop cooling still requires massive fans blowing ambient air over those pipes.
Exactly.
So it is still incredibly loud, and it still ruins the high desert view.
Well, the Sandoval Economic Alliance argues that the root cause of resident protest is rarely the technology itself.
What is it?
It's the geography of the placement. Friction occurs when these massive industrial blocks are squeezed too tightly against quiet residential zones without any physical mitigation.
Oh, and they outline a highly strategic approach to site selection in places like Rio Rancho.
They do.
The alliance is using centralized research databases to evaluate topography. They aren't just looking for a flat, cheap piece of dirt to pour concrete on.
No, not at all.
They are actively hunting for natural barriers, like hills, valleys, specific topographical formations. They can act as physical sound buffers between the data center and the town.
They are mapping the terrain to manipulate acoustics.
It's a brilliant concept.
Yeah.
They're basically using the natural geography of the New Mexico Earth like a giant pair of noise-canceling headphones for the local neighborhoods.
Well, it's not exactly like noise-canceling headphones. Those use active technology, you know, playing an inverse sound wave to cancel out incoming noise. What the alliance is doing here is passive acoustic baffling.
Okay, so more like a wall.
Think of it more like sitting behind a massive concrete pillar at a loud rock concert.
Ah, God.
They are deliberately placing these noisy facilities behind earthen berms and hillsides to create physical acoustic shadows.
Acoustic shadows, I like that.
The sound waves from the cooling fans hit the topography and are physically deflected upward, away from the residential areas.
And they pair that acoustic strategy with targeting areas out on what they call the distant mesa, right?
Yes.
Or tucking them into already established industrial parks. They are hunting for that geographical sweet spot, far enough from subdivisions to cast an acoustic shadow, but close enough to the city's edge to tap into the power and fiber networks we talked about earlier.
Precisely. Furthermore, they are enforcing strict visual aesthetics.
Oh, right, to hide them.
Yeah. The briefing details how they work directly with site selectors to control building heights and exterior palettes. Developers are forced to design these colossal structures to blend into the natural high desert environment using specific earth tones and low-profile architecture.
I have to admit, there is something slightly dystopian about that.
How so?
Well, we are literally terraforming the earth and painting massive windowless tech monoliths the exact color of the desert, just to hide them from the human eye.
Yeah.
Like, we are actively trying to make the physical internet invisible.
It speaks to the ultimate goal of proactive urban planning, though.
True.
By keeping the physical reality of the digital economy out of sight and out of mind, municipal leaders neutralize the risk of community pushback before the first shovel ever hits the dirt.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If the facility is designed from day one to operate in an acoustic shadow and blend into the mesa, the tension simply never materializes.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because if these buildings require this much handholding, if they have to use specialized closed-loop water systems and underwrite utility-scale solar farms and be hidden behind hills on the distant mesa just so people don't complain, why do communities fight so viciously to attract them?
That's a lot of work.
It is.
Yeah.
What is the actual tangible payoff for the town taking on this massive headache?
To understand the municipal appeal, you have to look at the unique return on investment of a data center compared to traditional industrial development.
Okay.
Imagine a city successfully attracts a massive new manufacturing plant or like a million square foot e-commerce logistics hub. Yes, it brings jobs, but what else does it bring?
Well, it brings 500 heavy semi-trucks tearing up the local asphalt every single day.
Precisely. It brings heavy wear and tear on civic infrastructure. It brings localized exhaust pollution.
Yeah.
It brings thousands of daily commuters that strain the local roads. And it requires a massive expansion of emergency services, police, and fire departments to handle the sprawling workforce.
And a data center operates completely differently.
Totally differently.
Because once the initial construction phase is finished, a data center is practically a ghost town. You have maybe 50 highly specialized employees driving sedans to work.
Right.
There is zero heavy truck traffic. They produce no local emissions. The strain on municipal roads and fire departments is practically non-existent.
Yet, despite demanding almost nothing from the city's daily infrastructure, these facilities are valued at billions of dollars.
And that is the magic trick. The city gets to tax a multi-billion dollar property that requires zero civic maintenance.
But this is perhaps the most vital long-term socioeconomic benefit for New Mexico.
Really?
Historically, you know, you would have brilliant students graduate from local institutions like the University of New Mexico, or UNM, and Central New Mexico Community College, CNM.
Yeah.
But if they earned highly specialized tech degrees, the local economy couldn't absorb them. They were forced to leave their families and move out of state to places like Silicon Valley or Austin to find relevant work.
But these new data centers require intense ongoing operational management.
Exactly. They create a localized demand for incredibly specific high-wage roles, We are talking about advanced cybersecurity specialists, systems engineers, and complex facility managers.
Oh, that's huge.
Suddenly, world-class, top-tier career opportunities exist right in Sandoval County. The graduates can stay home, build their careers, and inject their high salaries back into the local economy.
So we have these completely hidden, camouflaged buildings out on the mesa that are quietly raising local property values, funding the public schools, and creating cutting-edge careers for local graduates without clogging up the morning commute.
This raises an important question, though, about the mechanics of how these deals actually get done.
Yeah. How does it happen?
Because this kind of perfectly orchestrated harmony, where the massive tech conglomerate gets its infrastructure and the town gets its tax revenue without losing its peace and quiet, that does not happen by accident.
No, somebody has to sit at the table and broker the boundaries.
That is exactly the role of an organization like the Sandoval Economic Alliance. They act as the vital translational bridge between fast-moving global tech firms and local municipal leadership.
Right.
The briefing notes a fascinating operational detail, actually. The alliance utilizes automated research systems to generate responses for corporate site selectors 10 times faster than a standard municipality could.
10 times faster.
10 times.
So while another city's zoning board is still scheduling a meeting to discuss a proposal, Sandoval County has already provided the tech company with a comprehensive topographical map, utility availability, and acoustic modeling.
Exactly.
That operational velocity is how they win the massive contracts.
They match the aggressive speed that the tech industry demands. But, and this is the most critical part of the entire briefing, they use that very speed as leverage to enforce the community's boundaries.
Oh, that's smart.
Because they are so efficient at finding the perfect site on the distant mesa, they have the authority to demand the complex sound mitigation studies. They're the ones locking in the closed-loop water conservation agreements.
Yeah.
They ensure the global corporation's expansion perfectly aligns with the local community's long-term environmental goals.
So what does this all mean? If we pull all these mechanical, economic, and geographic threads together, the ultimate takeaway for you listening to this right now is that